The case of a clinically dead pregnant woman being kept alive by doctors against her family's wishes will come before the High Court tomorrow. Dr. Adam McCauley is a lecturer in medical law at Dublin City University. He joins me now on the line. Good morning to you, Dr. McCauley.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, we know that Mr. Justice Nicholas Kearns, the President of the High Court, is going to be in session tomorrow. First of all, who will be represented at this hearing?
Well, the family will be represented at the hearing. The state will be represented at the hearing. The High Court judge can make a determination as to whether the unborn should be represented at this hearing. There has been precedent for this back in 1995 when there was a challenge to the Regulation of Information Bill before the Supreme Court under Article 26, and the decision was taken by the court in that particular case to appoint a counsel on behalf of the unborn. In terms of the lady being represented in question, she won't really be represented at all, because ultimately the decision for the court is that the court steps in and acts in a sense as in loco parentis. So it's the High Court judge, is the President of the High Court, Mr. Justice Nicholas Kearns, who will make the decision, and will make the decision on the basis of what is in her best interests.
And there's suggestions that he's going to be asked to make the woman a ward of court. What would that mean?
Well, wardship is a mechanism that dates back to feudal times. Initially, it was used for determining when people were not competent and not having the intellectual capacity to make decisions concerning the management of their property. But in more recent times, it's been used for cases such as these, so that in relation to making a decision about a person's constitutional rights, the person is made a ward of court, and the President of the High Court, as I said before, steps in and acts in loco parentis, making decisions on the basis of the ward's best interests.
But the suggestion is that the High Court would appoint a committee which would amount, or at least become perhaps the father of the woman. Is that something that you see as a possibility or a likelihood?
The court has that capacity to appoint a committee to act on behalf of the person. But the experience of the courts has been that in very, very important decisions, it is not taken by the committee of the person. The committee of the person can take sort of day-to-day decisions, but in terms of very sort of essential, and obviously in this particular case, very important decisions, they are always taken by the judge assigned for the wardship list.
So what then about the case to be made for the unborn child, who is also, if you like, covered by the article, the Eighth Amendment, Article 43.3 of the Constitution? You say it's likely, or at least it's possible, that that unborn child would be given legal representation in line with precedent. What then?
Well, one of the decisions that the court will have to make is the extent to which the Eighth Amendment, Article 40.3.3, actually applies in this particular case. If we look back historically at the Eighth Amendment, it was designed primarily to prevent abortion on demand in Ireland. And obviously this particular case is not really dealing with abortion. So the judge will have to may be faced with an argument that this, in fact, is not applicable in this particular case. If he decides that it is applicable, then this is where we get a potential competition between, on the one hand, the best interests of the ward in question, and then obviously the issue of the right to life of the unborn child. And what the judge will have to do is engaged in a balancing exercise. And much of this decision making, in terms of the judge making the decision in question, will be grounded very much upon the medical evidence that will be presented to the judge, because to a certain extent that medical evidence could determine the outcome of this particular case. If it is clear to the judge that the viability of the fetus has been irretrievably compromised in these circumstances, obviously then the outcome will probably be withdrawal of treatment. If not, then the judge will have to engage in this particular balancing exercise. And when he does that, it's important to understand that the duty to protect the right to life of the unborn is not absolute. The judge only has to go as far as practicable. And obviously, again, that he has to balance that up with the rights and interests of the ward.
And insofar as he might decide that Article 43.3 brought forward through the Eighth Amendment does not apply in this case, on what grounds might he come to that conclusion?
Because again, the amendment was passed in relation to the context of a termination of a pregnancy, where it was to prevent abortion on demand in Ireland. That was the purpose of it. So he might feel that the Eighth Amendment is not applicable in these particular circumstances, because we're not talking about the intentional termination of a pregnancy. If the withdrawal of treatment from the ward occurs, the life support occurs, it's an unintended consequence of that will be the loss of the fetus's life. And therefore, that's with the argument that we put forward to him.
I suppose, you know, you make the point that, Adam, that it was not this amendment was brought forward in the context of trying to keep abortion out of Ireland, to use the language of the time. It had the direct opposite effect, as indeed some people warned, including the then Attorney General, Mr. Sutherland. So the fact that it may have been brought in or put into the Constitution for a particular reason, does it necessarily follow that you can only consider this particular set of circumstances against that background?
No, the court can, and in 2009 in the frozen embryos case, obviously again we're talking about frozen embryos, so they're not in the womb. A number of the Supreme Court judges indicated that it could apply outside the context of abortion, and I mean those particular statements of the Supreme Court judges are not binding on the High Court because those particular cases dealt with frozen embryos. So it could be relevant, it could be very pertinent for the President of the High Court, but again he will come back then to a balancing exercise. Determining, for example, the rights and interests of the ward on the one hand versus the right to life of the unborn on the other.
And it's hard to imagine, though, that in the 31 years or so since the passage of this referendum, that similar cases have not arisen in the past. Now, they may not have reached the courts, but for instance, the Sunday Times reported yesterday that there was a case previously which has echoes, or which had echoes of this one, and there was guidance from the Attorney General's office to the hospital in question that it was permissible to turn off the life support or to end the life support.
Again, this may be very much dependent on the particular facts of the case, because there was a study done in 2010 by the University of Heidelberg that looked at the management of women in this particular situation, pregnant women in this particular situation, and the outcomes varied quite significantly. So if the particular facts of the case back in 2001, it could be a situation where it was very clear, for example, to the Attorney General's office on the basis of the medical evidence presented by the hospital, that in those particular circumstances, the fetus was not viable. It's the potential of it being born alive was non-existent or very, very, very slim. I mean, the issue, of course, is when we look at this particular situation and other situations that have arisen, is the failure of the politicians to legislate for these types of situations. As you rightly point out, we've only had one piece of legislation, for example, in over 30 years. And I think that this is the problem. Clinicians are fearful of the application of the Eighth Amendment. And obviously now with the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act of 2013, there's actually a provision in it that says that if somebody intentionally destroys human life before unborn life, there's a potential sentence of 14 years. So you can imagine the sort of dilemma that the clinicians are placed in. And there does need, for the politicians to stand up and legislate. I mean, we've heard ministers talking about amending the Eighth Amendment. We could pass legislation that would regulate this particular situation.
But are you saying in that, though, that it's possible that one or more of the provisions in the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Bill passed last year by the Oireachtas, that in fact could influence the outcome of tomorrow's case?
Well, again, I think that the provision in the 2013 Act says the intentional destruction of human life. And obviously the argument again would be that this is not intentional. But the problem is that clinicians don't have that level of assurance that this will not apply to them. And therefore, it's incumbent upon politicians really to deal with these issues.
And what about the possibility then that there might be an appeal? Is that possible?
There would be a potential for appeal when the judge exercising wardship jurisdiction is like any decision of the High Court. It's appealable to the Supreme Court. Again, any appeal that goes, could go to the Court of Appeal, actually, but more likely it'll probably go to the Supreme Court because it's a case of exceptional public importance. Again, the court will only interfere with the decision of the High Court judge if they feel that he's erred in law in some way. For example, he's failed to take due account or regard to the right to life of the unborn, or, for example, the right to life of the mother.
Finally, what weight, if any, is likely or should be given to the wishes of the next of kin in this situation? We've seen international precedents where families or husbands or partners have wanted, in some instances, to have the life support withdrawn, in others, for it to be continued for several weeks. So, again, is that likely to weigh, how heavily is that likely to weigh in the court or with the court?
The court will take into account the wishes of the family, but it's just one factor in determining what is in the best interests of the ward. That is the primary focus of the president of the High Court's job tomorrow. And he will listen to the family, he will be very sympathetic to what they have to say, but ultimately his guiding principle is the ward's best interests.
Dr. Adam McCauley, lecturer in medical law at Dublin City University, thank you very much indeed for joining us. We'll be talking to Josephine Feely, chairman of the Revenue Commissioners, just for a little while longer after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.